I'll try and find that photo.
See, what's weird is those scenes are actually what made me, like, stop watching the movie. Is that weird?
No, of course it's not weird.
That was,
it's an uncomfortable,
that was true for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just like, is this really a popular movie? Like, I don't know. It's weird because I'm so desensitized to so much. But yeah, that scene, like the first scene, is just like, whoa. You know what I mean? It's just like...
So are you there now?
Yeah, I'm here. What movie are you guys talking about?
Clockwork Orange.
Hey, could is there a way, Alan, you could just go back to where you were saying?
Sure. Bill, let me know if you're recording again.
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. So what I was saying was, if someone on the Sync thread or on one of these shows or whatever was talking about A Clockwork Orange, I don't think anyone would say, hey, that's off, you know, this topic is off limits because that show features a rape scene. There's even a photo that I've seen get pushed around this group, which shows the it's a behind the scenes photograph from Clockwork Orange that shows the woman from that scene. This is the wife of the author. She's sort of smiling. Everyone's kind of laughing as they're in this filming mode, and they're either in the middle of or about to film this horribly brutal rape scene. And there's something really disturbing to me about that photograph. And we can go into that. Like, to me, like, there's... But I guess my point is that no one says, oh, this photograph should be off limits because this is implying that it's not a seriously upsetting thing, but here there's people smiling. How dare that photo even exist, or how dare anyone share that photo? This has never happened, and I doubt this ever will happen. And the other point I made is, if someone, you know, someone, let's say we have all these people taking albums and movies and mashing them together, what if someone played Nirvana albums over Clockwork Orange and said, oh my god, the song Rape Me comes on during this brutal scene? Would anyone go, oh, you've crossed a line?
No, because these are two different things going on, in my opinion.
Please tell me.
Rape as subject matter needs to be discussed. It needs to be discussed intelligently, artistically, whatever way you need to discuss it to understand it and to grasp it and to remove the illusions around it, right? So the concept of rape, the idea of rape, the experience of rape, it should be talked about. It's adult subject matter, okay? So I would never say, I don't like that blog post about rape in Clockwork Orange because you shouldn't talk about rape in context of movies. It's trivializing. I don't think that that's the case. The specific instance that we're talking about, there's something about this specific instance that is different, that I think warranted the, hey, are we okay with this? And that's what,
but,
maybe
see,
we've gone
point.
Over.
There was no
over.
Question. There was no question, hey, are we okay with this? Where was that question? Because what I heard was a lot of judgmental, this not cool. Hey, not cool, man. You can't do that.
I don't, it's saying, this is, okay, I'll just put out there what I interpreted it, because that's all I can really put
please.
Out there.
Yeah,
it
same
was
here.
Saying,
same.
I did work for 42 minutes, and I'm not completely confident in how to get people to listen to it, and this is how I express it. Let me rape your ears. And I just cringed. I was like, ugh, shit, I don't really dig that. That's where my starting point is that, I just wouldn't try to get someone to listen to my work or pay attention to my work by saying I want to rape your ears.
Nor would I.
So I said, you know, it makes me cringe, but if that's part of Violator's whole shtick, that's how he gets people into the fold, well, I guess, you know, that's his thing. I support his ability to do that. Now, where Justin's follow-up is saying, is SyncBook Press comfortable with artists who, in his opinion, resort to cringe-worthy aesthetics to get people to listen to them? And so that question is on the table, and I would have said, You know what? I wouldn't put that like on the 42 minutes banner or on the SyncBook Press banner. Like, Violator Hellspawn rapes ears at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Don't miss it. Like, I would say, I'm not going to go that route. Jeez. Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't want to represent that. And I get where you come in is there's no way in hell would you ever go to Violator and say, I really want you to change that, or I want you to take down that post because it reflects negatively on what we're trying to do here. And so it's like these two sections, and then there's this third section. And I don't know if they're maybe everything isn't connected. But okay, maybe I'm catching up here, is that if everything does connect in that flow, does that third and final part trump everything that comes before it? Because the one thing we don't do is we don't censor, and I don't know. I just wish you wouldn't have said ear rape,
well,
man.
See, yeah. So here's the thing, though. Like, why, like, does the fact that, say there's something that makes me cringe, I am constantly encountering things that make me cringe. Do I then get to take everyone who says something that makes me cringe to task? Or am I only allowed to do it when it's a word, when it's one of, like, when it's like George Carlin, it's like a new list of words you can't say.
Exactly as I thought about it. Yeah, that's what I've been
thinking. And so if you make me cringe by using poor grammar, do I get to say, do we do that? Do we allow that kind of low speech? It makes me cringe. It offends me that people who claim that they can write speak poorly, way more than someone using the word rape as
really
the way he,
really
yeah
grammar
absolutely.
Offends
absolutely.
You more than someone wielding around the word rape haphazardly.
If they're actually the way he used it was seemed poetic and interesting to me, and it seemed to
poetic.
Referenced Parliament Funkadelic. You know, I'm gonna come in your ear hole, all that stuff. It's just, yeah. I mean, it's a poetic, it's a use of poetic language. And I get it. It's okay if it makes you cringe. The question I have is, like, why is that my or anyone's concern? The thing that makes you cringe. That's what you bring to it. That's okay. And it's certainly okay for you to take someone to task personally for making you cringe, saying that makes me cringe. It offends me.
Yeah, it's what you visualize in response to it and not all necessarily like the thing in and of itself, you know?
I have a problem
you're
with
acting
jumping from it offends me to it is offensive.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's certainly, maybe the grammar thing is, but it is true. It does. I do cringe when I hear people say things that are incorrect on the radio, not just here. When I hear anyone do it, myself, especially.
I think the other thing, can I just raise this point that when we're talking about, how was the word rape used and all this sort of stuff, bear in mind, one of the issues that was raised with it is that it was insensitive to women. And all this stuff that it was like it was like the oh the poor children, but instead it was like oh the poor women. He didn't say anything about women. Women.
Father rapers.
It's not just the idea that do women have a monopoly on ear holes? No, men have ears. Animals have ears. So are we saying I have a cat and my cat had something stuck in his ear once. How dare you? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing to make this leap from he used the word ear rape, and therefore this is offensive to women, or that this is anti-women, that the term misogynist was used. You know, like, really? Because I didn't know women were the only species or gender that had ears.
Rape is usually the... It's part of the dominator culture, right? The dominator rapes. The dominated is raped.
Yes.
So our culture is, in America, most likely typified as a white male dominator culture, right? And, you know, a character like walking into an Avatar as a 14-year-old white boy as Violator Hellspawn is probably a reaction to not feeling capable of really becoming part of the white male dominator culture. That you escape into a fantasized character to give you the power to live in a white male dominator culture. So, because you say, I want to rape. I don't want, it's like there's either the raper or the raped, and I want to be the raper. Usually people choose that in that equation if they have a choice. So this brings into a lot of the sort of the paradigms that are being attacked nowadays. Is are we okay with white dominator culture? How do we move away from it? How do we deconstruct it?
Your Facebook avatar, I've never seen Mad Men, but I've heard you guys talk about it a lot. If your Facebook avatar was Don Draper,
I was just thinking that.
Right? Would this be an issue?
Well, that you know, you have a character there who is falling, who is crumbling, who is dissolving, you know, under the weight of his own bad decisions and his lies, and it's trying to show, you know, someone who. Everyone in the world thinks of Don Draper, he's got it all. Money, women, power, respect. And he's this crumbling, small, frail, semi-suicidal man. You know, it's taking the cloak off of someone who you thought was so in control.
Hey, whatever you do, guys, don't ruin the show for me because I'm still watching. I'm only on season one.
Dude, I'm gonna rape there. You with spoilers, platypus. No! I'm going to just spell it all out right in your ear hole,
not
man.
Not like this, Minsky. Not like this.
So now, okay, now I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
Oh,
But Alan, were you just pointing out that Draper had the word rape in it?
Yeah, it's raper. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just thinking that like 5 minutes ago. I don't know if that's just obvious or what.
But Amy said it last night when we were talking about this because she was like, "Oh, you put a D in front of it. It's Draper." And we were watching. Yeah.
It's Don Draper.
D Raper.
Yeah.
Paper. Anyways,
but so we? Yeah, so I guess this is the question. Also, is like this, you know, the fact that the conversation turned into is this a maybe you want to reconsider your Facebook avatar or your blogger avatar and chosen name that you might have chosen at 14 when you started blogging or whatever it was, like. What the idea that, you know, I see people using Facebook avatars of Jack Torrance, who we talk about, is potentially a child rapist. If we look at that Playgirl cover,
well, it's a perfect thing that you bring up The Shining, because in 1980, no one who watched that movie probably allowed their mind to go there with Jack molesting his son.
Oh, fuck yeah, they did. Well, I'm sorry, I disagree.
The majority?
I think a lot of people. No, not the majority.
Okay.
I will not say that.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. I think people who were abused, who were close to the abused, people who understood a little bit about it probably saw that like explicitly. Just sort of like in 2001 during the chess scene. Only really high-level chess players saw that scene in the first time they went to the movie theater and went, what the fuck? He cheated. Or he fucked up. Like, only people close enough to the material could extract that, right? And it there's no pointers or billboards that Kubrick gives you to say, you should see this, right? Now, 25 years later, people who watch The Shining, they kind of see symptoms and elements of child abuse more readily because we're a more enlightened nation. The conversation isn't buried. It isn't just in the doctor's offices and in the psychotherapist rooms. It's a public conversation now. So, you know, jokes about molestation have probably died down in those 30 years because people realize you never really know what people's experiences are in the past. And laughing about, you know, cornholing a 7-year-old, you know, it's just crude and it's an unenlightened sense of humor when you don't know the company you're in because you might be offending someone.
But Bill, this is why I'm so confused because I know you're a fan of Lenny Bruce. I know you're, I don't know if you're a fan of like a George Carlin.
Huge fan.
Or Bill Hicks?
Big fan.
Okay. What about Bill Hicks's joke about Goat Boy raping the 14-year-old girl?
You go to a comedy club at 10:30 at night, and you're drinking, and you're in that environment. You sign up for what a comedian is doing. You know, you enter the door of the club. You know what the comedian
and
is doing.
And my argument is, if you befriend a man named Violator Hellspawn on Facebook, you get what you signed up for.
I saw it there when it came up as a friend request. I'm like, I don't know. Do I want to let a Hellspawn in?
So what Justin's argument is? So what Justin's argument is? Would if the work was so solid, would SyncBook say, let's get Adolf Hitler Jr. or MC Adolf Hitler Jr. To do a 42 minutes where he raps about Jew conspiracies and how they sync up with Stanley Kubrick films?
I'd be interested to hear what he has to say.
Right?
I would be interested in what he has to say, too. But, you know.
Okay, then we're agreed.
But
you can be interested in what someone has to say without, you know, taking on, like, you know, I don't think Stanley Kubrick is Satan, but I think what Mark LeClaire has to say is interesting. So by giving Mark LeClaire a platform, does that make, you know, are we promoting the idea that Stanley Kubrick is Satan? No, I don't think so. If, you know, if Kyle Hunt thinks there's some sort of Jewish conspiracy and I put him in the first Sync book, does that mean that I'm endorsing his views of, you know, the Jewish cabal or something like that? No, I don't think so. But I do think it's a, you know, this is a fair, I'm open to this conversation because it is something that, you know, by putting a Kyle Hunt in the Sync book, I have had to wrestle with that. Is that okay if I so strongly disagree with someone on all these other points, but I think this specific material is interesting, can we address that material, or do we get the baggage that comes with it? Is there a way to separate the baggage? And I've realized there's probably no way to separate the baggage, but I think it's worth it to get that, have that interesting conversation.
The funny thing is you, if anything, it says, Justin says, hey, put the magnifying glass on this. This is making me feel something that I didn't expect out of the umbrella that is Sync Book, and what do you guys think? And I say, that's good that he did that. He cared enough to say, I think you need to look at this. This conversation is sort of the magnifying glass of looking at what this situation is. I don't think we're finding any need to censor anything that Violator did, but I think...
So I want to back this up. My argument is what you and Justin and Will Morgan and this other woman, I don't know her name is Licorice Root. Well, I believe what you guys did was, whether consciously or not, was an attempt at censoring him, because the conversation went to, well, as long as you understand this is inappropriate and you won't do this again and you say you're sorry, how is that not censored?
I didn't have the balls to say to Violator, hey, you say this comes from a self-deprecating sense of humor and a sense of insecurity, and especially tied to your feelings towards women. I didn't have the balls to say, you know, that's being reflected in the language that you use, and you need to check that shit out. And it's building
Wait,
a cross.
So again,
it's
where,
building
where
a cross
women,
over your
where do
work.
Women come into this? Where do women?
Like I said, I feel fucked up saying this stuff that Violator put on the Facebook page because he offered it. But if I had the balls to really non-censor myself, I would have said, this insecurity is forming a crust around really good work, and people might not get past that crust because it reflects a 14-year-old Violator Hellspawn avatar, and it's not working.
You said that right as Violator's avatar showed up at the exact second.
Zink!
Violator, are you with us?
Is your voice wearing protection?
Is he with us?
Quick, cover your ear holes!
Violator, you there?
Well, it says he is.
He's been here the whole time.
We'll give him a minute. I guess this was the other thing I take issue with. So again, this is the idea that this is a feminine issue. So that I bring this back up. Does ear rape imply violence towards women?
I think for our time and place and space and time, yeah. I mean, the majority of rape, I think, is, well, it's probably in male prisons, but, out on the streets.
It's in Oz.
Yeah.
Which we had watched Orange is the New Black before we watched Mad Men. And the reason we watched Mad Men was because Amy was like, we need to watch another show. And that it was really interesting that came on right simultaneously with the hunger strike. Over 3,000 inmates it was more than that. It was 30,000. 30,000 fucking inmates in California prisons are participating in a hunger strike. And there was a couple references to hunger strikes throughout the show, but I thought it was interesting the way that they were portraying prison. It was a drama / comedy around a prison, which I don't know. One of the big things that came up was that there's a whole lot of rape in prison. It's interesting to make a comedy type. I mean, it wasn't strictly a comedy, obviously, but I don't know. Interesting.
Alan, in answer to your question, I was just looking up online a little bit of like feminist writings on the use of the word rape. And I found something from Ms. Magazine that just might go to what you're talking about, is why this is a male or is this a women's issue or not. It's talking about people, particularly in high schools, using the word rape in a general term, like carelessly, in what they would say, a trivializing way. And they would say, and the quote is, using rape in this way is sort of doubly meaningful. It bolsters the masculinity, powerfulness, coolness of the speaker in two ways. First, because threatening rape is inherently masculinizing. And second, because being ostentatiously not sensitive to the word rape is also masculine. Which, may sound like I am making the argument why we shouldn't use the word. And there, like I said, there are valid arguments not to use the word. I would, but as to what William was saying, I would say that the realm of sync is like entering a comedy club at 10 p.m. You can't enter the realm of sync and then say, I don't want to hear a word. You can't. I mean, you can, but then you will be, then I will deride you just as much as you would deride. That makes me cringe way more than the use of a word. We're people who deal with Stanley Kubrick, whose whole thing is constantly sneaking in cringeworthy things into his films, and we gobble it up and think it's wonderful. So then one of us to like put on their Stanley Kubrick hat and maybe do it not in such a genius way as he would, but to play with the same themes, and then for someone to say, oh, you can't use that because it makes me uncomfortable, is sort of like someone walking into a comedy club and heckling Bill Hicks because he said something that made them uncomfortable. These are realms that, like, if it was in a classroom setting, if you were teaching a class and you used that, I would hold it to a different standard. But we are some late night riffers on language who play fast and loose with some of the biggest concepts imaginable. So
just it's like one in five women that get raped. Like, it's a ridiculous percentage. And like, I mean, before I was with, I think my first like six girlfriends, they had all experienced that before they were with me. And when it would come up, it was like a knot in their emotional like body. Like, it was like embedded, and it's a fucking intense thing, you know, and they're working it out. But, it's not like being extra tense around it for them was necessarily like helpful. Like, I was with a woman who was reading like a therapy book of how to face trauma that's happened in your life. And like, she realized at a certain point, at least for her, that she was like, I need to fucking put this book aside and just live my life and not, you know, just keep, you know, it's like you can be putting something on top of something that's already painful too, you know?
We have two new people in this call. Violator, are you with us now? Okay. Frank, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Maybe his mic is muted or something. Violator, if you're there, check in your conversations tab up on top and put unmute mic if that's happening. I don't know. It'd be weird if he was like shouting, come on, you guys, I'm right here.
Oh, I think I just heard something.
Yeah, I think he's there.
Some wrestling.
Violator.
No.
Oh, I hear you. Speak up, please.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey now. Can you hear me? Really?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Like fine, or what? I don't know if my mic's...
Your volume's a bit low, but we do hear you.
Trying not to be too forceful. It's okay.
Don't overcompensate now.
It's always the mild-mannered, soft-spoken ones.
Yes. Okay, I cannot find the volume control on this thing. Is that better?
Yes. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. Is it too much? Do I have to pull it back a little?
Oh, now you're worried. Is it too much?
You are in my ear.
That was a double entendre, too.
No, this is, as Jason Barrera said, your oral sex is more than consensual. We're happy to have you in our ears today.
Thank you, glad to be here again. Just any excuse to get back on the show.
It's funny to me because the things that I don't think are controversial are usually the things that kind of blow up. Like I didn't – so obviously as I started the call was saying I don't think there's anything controversial about the subject matter of your 42 minutes. I thought it was a fantastically produced episode. And I don't want that to detract this conversation to detract from that at all. So before we go anywhere else, for real, man, like let me just say, great fucking job.
Thanks.
Yeah, I agree.
Everyone seems to like it so far, which is surprising because I don't know. It was just me, so it wasn't that exciting to listen to. I don't think.
I liked it. I like your subtle references to Jodie Foster via the accused connects to contact with wormhole transport. I got how you did that. That was very fly.
I'm not even sure I remember how I did it, but thank you.
Well, the way that you were talking about tangent universes, I saw what you were trying to do where you connected it with Jodie Foster through contact and we're leading it to that scene in The Accused. That's what you were referencing when you put it on Facebook, right? So that those people who are in the know got the joke, yeah.
You have to see a lot of movies to hang with me. I had something queued up here, and then I lost it.
Douglas Bowles, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I want to ask you, since this all came out of something that was done for 42 minutes, we had Will Morgan with us earlier, but we weren't able to keep him. What, as far as the, you know, one of the two guys who are running the 42 minutes program, do you have any regrets about asking Jeremy Violator to do this episode? Were you upset with the way that it was promoted or anything like that?
No. It's strange because I've been mulling this over too, and my own prompting is to like stay out of when something erupts in fire. It's like I want to look away. I don't necessarily want, even though that's the purest human interaction, is to like, this is room 237, right? You have this eruption and it's basically a political eruption. You know, what do we do? Do we go into it or do we just try and ignore it and hope it goes away? But so like, I mean, that's what it comes down to, where you've got different people in the world with different worldviews, and we think that our own worldview is the most correct and we want to impose it on other people. It's funny because I'm just about to finish this book I've been reading. It's called Equilateral. The book is about these British scientists in the turn of the 19th century who realized that Mars is more intelligent than we are, that they are farther along Darwin's evolutionary scheme, and so they've decided to carve a huge equilateral triangle in the Egyptian desert, and I mean monumentally huge, but they have to use Islamic workers or Arabs, you know, to get this thing to happen. And so it's all about the idea of the other and how, you know, we're trying to communicate with these grand intentions, but then at the same time we can't even communicate with ourselves. Like the other is, you know, it just drops right into the idea of the shadow again. So like the interplay of the shadow, and so it's so bizarre because I know what Justin's saying, but at the same time it's like, really? Like this is where we're gonna have a war?
Right. I think that's exactly, you've hit the nail on the head for me, is that it's not that I don't have some sympathy for the idea. The point though is that how do you, you know, to fight one injustice with another injustice in a sort of way, right? As what you're saying is like you want to try and speak to the, can you speak to the higher thing without it devolving into then imposing yourself on someone else? My point, and this is probably a really bold statement, is that saying to someone you can't use this language is a form of rape, in the sense of forcing your opinion onto someone else. If you say this language is acceptable and this language is not, and you can't do that, you're forcing your morality or your language or your use of language onto someone else. Now, again, that might be a bold statement, but I think this is what speaks to the same idea of how do you have this conversation? How do you express being offended without it devolving into you being just as guilty, in a sense?
And just, I want to just jump in really quickly, just because I want to stay clear on, I don't know, I've done a lot. I live in Olympia, where a lot of people, there's been a lot, I just hang around a lot of feminist women. I have a lot of friends who care very deeply about this, and they would probably say that, like, just how you use the word rape there, that it's actually not it's not like it's oppressive to make someone, to force your views upon someone, but unless it's sexualized violence, then it's not rape. Just to, you know, I am a believer in being free to use the word as broadly as possible. But in this context, I just needed to make that clarification.
No, I'm glad that there's someone voicing that, which is why I asked Justin to join us today, which, so for the record, he was more than invited to come on this call to give his side of this. So I'm glad someone's giving the, not, you know.
I think part of the distinction is one is aimed at someone in a threatening way and one is not. But yeah, I could see if you say, oh, the home team or whatever, I don't do sports, but you know, the home team really raped the visiting team. That I could see how maybe a feminist might think that's using the word inappropriately.
They killed it. You're like, oh, they were dropping bombs. Oh, they fucking slaughtered it. Oh, it's always like, I mean.
Right. Well, as someone who's opposed to, you know, warfare and, you know, an equally brutal campaign.
If I said I'm going to commit a Holocaust on your hearing, am I a Holocaust denier? Or is that, you know.
That doesn't really deny build that a
very good audience,
it.
Does it? I
mean, yeah.
You would be a Holocaust trivializer at that point. But
then, you know, Holocaust is a word that was around long before, you know, 1939.
It means sacrifice.
Yeah.
It means burnt offering.
Offering. Yeah.
I don't know.
It doesn't only have one meaning, I guess.
This will be the last example I throw at you. But if you went to a wedding and you sat down at a table and there's like 15 people at your table, you know three of them, right? And you're sitting there talking, and then they say that the salad bar has opened up and everyone can go and fill their plate. And you announce to the table, on my way, I'm getting there first, I'm going to rape the hell out of that salad bar. It would probably make a pretty big impression on the people who didn't know you that he's going to rape the salad bar. Like, it would be an odd choice of language. Like, everyone would get the joke that you're going to go force yourself and take everything you want from the salad bar.
Dude, you know Alice's Restaurant? You know Alice's Restaurant, the classic thing they used to play in the 60s where Arlo got three, where he's fucking, and it's like they have that whole sequence where, I don't know what that sound is. They have that whole sequence where he goes to the prison and he's like, I was mother rapers, I think he says. And then he's like, father rapers. And one of the meanest, gnarliest father rapers of them all came and sat right next to me. And it's like, and they played that on the radio. Like everyone, I mean, I guess you could make the argument that it was more misogynistic then or something. But it's not like Arlo Guthrie was much of a misogynist. Like he was making a real point, like, I don't know. Like no one, as far as I know, got offended over that, even in a time when people were extremely uptight.
But in 2013, for the person who announced that they were going to go rape the salad bar, if I was sitting next to him and that was my friend, I would pull him aside and say, "Hey, you know, I don't think that's really the time and place to be using that kind of metaphor, man." Like I would address it with him.
So, is the sink community a formal wedding setting?
Kinda. But I mean, it's just
some people get emotionally attached to certain words, and obviously if you were raped, Alan, you know, and you heard the word rape, you would have a little bit of, you know, something go off in your brain that it means something extra for you. Like I was watched the remake of Evil Dead, and one of the cursed, you know, zombie girls was like, "Your sister's being raped in hell," and even though my sister was raped by her boyfriend or went to therapy for it, I didn't have emotional connection to that word and go, "Oh my god, I'm, you know, how dare they? You know, that's insensitive to women." You can't. I mean, it's a movie, you know, someone's going to be connected to all kinds of probing words like that. But I don't think it's devaluing or whatever, insensitizing actual rape by having that line in the movie.
And in the movie, you have a demon saying that. It's a difference between a fictional depiction on screen where everyone buys a ticket to a movie, whereas you're sitting next to someone at a table who announces they're going to rape a salad bar, and maybe someone across the table had been raped, and maybe they were raped a week ago, and maybe
someone sitting across the table was in prison and not only raped but had to toss someone's salad.
Oh, I was thinking the same thing, Alan.
Yeah, that's what I was.
Because, yeah. I mean, there's a town right next to me called Aptos, and I so wanted to open up a salad bar place called Aptos Your Salad. And never mind, sorry. It's funnier if you live here and you know Aptos.
William, the thing about it is that in that situation that you talk about, that table, that wedding table, I would say that 75% of the stuff that shows up on the kitchen sink is stuff that you would probably get a rise out of 1 out of 10 strangers at, you know, let's talk about room 237 and just start talking about the movie room 237 and the different points of view that are represented there. And I guarantee that at least one of the people at that dinner table is going to be offended or turned off or made uncomfortable because you're dealing with questioning the lunar landing and child abuse and 2 Holocausts.
Well, there's a difference between being a polite guest and being an asshole. And everyone has the freedom to be an asshole 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A lot of them are very successful. But some of us try to fit into what is somewhat considered civilized society. And sometimes saying, you know what, I'm not using the rape humor tonight at the wedding table. I'll do that in my comedy act back home when I do it late night at the bar. You know, like, I'm not an ape. I don't just, you know, pull out my dick and masturbate when I feel like it. And that's kind of like what it's like.
Wait a second. So why is it – but what I want to know is why is it okay to be the person at that wedding party who makes a bummer vibe by being like, I'm offended. We're here to celebrate somebody's marriage and you're getting offended because of what someone said? Like I was – who's the asshole? Really, who is the asshole? The person who says something or the person who makes a big deal about it? Because I guarantee you're going to have to hear some awful stuff from one of those 10 people. One of them is going to make an Obamacare joke and you're going to want – you're going to – that's going to be a – offensive to you.
But
or
see,
me.
Andros, you're trying to say that you to get upset about someone's misuse of grammar at a wedding table and for you to say, you know, attack them because you got so you cringed so hard because that on your table is more cringeworthy than a trivialized rape joke. I'm saying that that's a pretty skewed and fucked up perspective in the basis of actual reality.
Yeah, but wait a second. Wait a second. Actual, we're using terms like actual reality in a realm, in the realm of talking about synchronicity. There is an actual reality as opposed to an inactual reality.
Well, there are moments.
And all I'm hearing you saying is that, like, you're saying that someone's an asshole. That you're diminishing other people because of what they say. That's not the same. That's actually, I think, more negative and more assholish. No offense. I do mean this with no offense.
Oh, no,
I'm
we're
not
talking here.
Offended, but I am trying to tell you that when you say that sometimes that one thing is saying something and another thing is being an asshole, that's in the eye of the beholder. That's your sink. You're the one who's making someone an asshole. Someone who just says something, it's just a word. And in this realm, and again, I want to be clear, we're not at a wedding. We are in a nightclub setting. We are late night riffing on, you know.
So that's actual reality, Andras?
No, I'm not saying that that's actual reality. I'm saying that if it's okay to talk about the shooting in Aurora and in the way that you talk about a movie or a video game, which would offend some people, then it's certainly okay. Then everything's okay. Everything's in the realm of stuff that we can talk about. And to then be the one who says, oh, now you're an asshole.
Let me clear this up. Okay, everyone who thinks I'm actually a demon from hell, raise your hand. Okay, I don't see any hands raised.
No, mine.
I think we can. I can't see it, but you know, it's. I mean, that's like someone said. I mean, my persona or avatar is not me, and I'm obviously come, you know, into public more on my blog than I ever would in real life. I mean, I have more friends on that Facebook than I have family members on my other Facebook that like me, or, you know, like my page or whatever. So I'm like a hermit in real life. I have no one to talk to or anything. You were the only people I talked to. So, like, I mean, the violator thing is not a real thing. It's a, you know, it's a joke. I picked Violator out of a comic book because it was my favorite character, my favorite comic at the time. Now, it's not my fault that it's synonymous with rape. So Justin's argument was that, no surprise, someone named Violator is making a joke about rape. Well, right. That's offensive to me. And, you know, I don't like when I see a sign that says violators will be towed or violators will be prosecuted or whatever. I'm like, well, shit, you know, that sucks. Why would I call myself violator? So, and I don't like that, you know, people make cracks. I mean, I never make cracks about myself, but other people on Worms and then here would say, oh, what are you going to violate me? Oh, you just got violated by the violator, you know? And then I kind of like in school where my only defense was verbal defense because I'm physically not that impressive. You know, I have to make fun of myself harder than other people in order to own it. So I, you know, I preempt everything by.
What about, you
know, debasing myself? But
the energetic signature that we're all so fond of. So what does that mean to you that you I mean, so what, you know, you said it was just schoolboy foolishness or naivete, but what I'm just curious, you know, your composite character built on your avatar. What is?
Well, I haven't really. I mean, I never spent the time to build. It's other people that build it. You know, I don't eat meat, someone says, "Oh, you're a vegetarian." You know, people pick a label and go with it. You know, I never spent time I mean, just recently with like PsyCube, sometimes Frank Zero would say he's a demon from hell, you know, very recent. That's about as much profile building that's been done, and it hasn't been done by me. But what's his face? Justin thought, you know, believes that I have a very misogynistic, woman hating sort of a theme around me. And I don't know where that came from. I mean, you hear me talk about my inability to even talk to women.
He's unhappy with the world that we live in, the state of the world, then, you know, and so instead of saying reality, maybe we'll just like culture is, you know, what most people perceive to be how things are. And our culture is definitely patriarchal. And I don't know how you change that. And so you're just the shadow that Justin's fighting with at this moment.
In his spotlight right now, you know, he's got issues, and I'm just the one that, you know, the whipping boy for this subject. So whatever, you know.
That was racist.
I think
I got that from a story that was about, like, you know, a white monarch. So that is probably a racist.
Stories are oppressive, man. Stories are oppressive.
Any investigation into Violator. Actual investigations, so like do a Google search on him, you're going to find that the Stygian port, I think, outlines a lot of ideas and stuff that he thinks and is more of his avatar than whatever he picked to be the common, you know, Facebook and everything else that identifies as. And, you know, I would have stayed with Apocalypse from the X-Men, but, you know, I guess change too often and want to have like a different avatar picture every week or something. I'm one of those people. But I very well could have stayed Apocalypse, and then it would have been Apocalypse and Violator being accused of using that kind of terminology. But I think the most important thing, if I can get across here in watching that whole thing go down and the argument with Justin, is really that I'm seeing in a lot of different groups, a lot of different types of people, but all people that deal in really big ideas, a kind of unraveling of certain people that are like super uncomfortable with things and kind of lashing out. And it's usually provoked by someone's using very like frank or joking or, you know, random language or whatever, just being extreme in one expression. And then I think even with a lot of like racist ideas in the US, we've seen, you know, I suppose with the Trayvon case and everything, I've been watching just people kind of unravel and show their true colors. And then from that, you have these really reactionary people. And I thought I was surprised when I saw the people showing their true colors. And then you see the reactionary people and you really get a very specific idea of what someone's battling with, you know, in their shadow or whatever. And so I really think, you know, seeing this guy in the community for a while and not having any problems before and usually saying very intelligible things, I think it's a case of directly, I think what everybody was getting at, Andras was getting at initially, that he's just kind of, you know, reflecting on the Violator, and Violator, you know, in his demonic imagery, I guess, became an easy target for that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you said it right there, but I was going to say something. But yeah, totally right. Good. I'll think of something to say. Someone talk now.
Right, so like after the Trayvon Martin thing, I remember Frank Zero, I was talking to you on Facebook, and I remember thinking I was so heated because the night that case was going down, I was watching these people on Twitter, and there were just these white people saying like the most disgusting things, like the most disgusting racist things. So afterwards, you know, I was like, everyone should be angry. You know, everyone's trying to sort of misdirect it. Everyone's trying to say, oh, this is some kind of distraction, was what everyone was saying. I was like, no, it's really important. And everyone's like, why are you so heated about this? Why are you, you know, why is it so important to you? And I realized it was because I still had that sort of like aftertaste of watching what these people were saying. So I'm thinking maybe Justin had some kind of encounter with seeing what other people say about rape and how so many people joke about it. Like, it's epidemic on the internet. Like, you almost can't go anywhere without, you know, some kind of rape joke being made.
Yeah.
His work is really progressive, though. And so if you're like moving in, the Riot Fish stuff is really solid, really good, really progressive. They want to create the kind of world that most people would want to live in. It's just we don't live in that world. And so how do you get there? And so I totally understand where he's coming from, where here's this perceived threat or perceived idea of everything that we don't stand for. You know, the violator, you know, and rape culture, just misogyny and everything densely packed into your avatar. I mean,
baggage.
I don't know why you even brought that up. I thought that was. I don't know.
But so, it's the same thing. It's like, so there's lots of people in the world, and so how do you get everyone on the same page as far as what makes the most sense? You know, Hitler gave it a shot. We don't really think that he was that great a guy. Well, he had some really good ideas. He's like, I know what's right. I know what's best for everyone. I'm going to impose my will on everyone. It's like, how do you get to that world that we all want to be in, where we can all tolerate each other?
Yeah, I heard him say Hitler had really great ideas.
Sarcastically, he got a lot of people to say, yeah, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's going to create the world that I want to live in.
Well, yeah, if you read Mein Kampf and you go through Mein Kampf, you will inevitably, if you're really paying attention, you will nod your head in agreement with much of what he's saying. But then when he'll just go left field and throw something in there that is ultimately unrelated. But for the people at the time, because they were in such agreement with everything else he was saying, they were glad to accept something. Even if A didn't equal B, they didn't care. They were willing to overlook it. And we do the same thing today, not necessarily in the same extreme, in the same way in terms of enthusiasm, but we hear speeches all the time that A does not equal C, and we don't give a fuck because we want to live our lifestyle and live with what we're doing. We don't care, and we're willing to overlook it. But I mean, you're talking about apocalypse. Apocalypse means to unveil. Like, there's a lot of things here that people just don't want to look at, and so we go about our lives. And so,
So, like, on one level, we're talking about changing culture, which is changing attitudes and opinions. But then another side arena of this would be, like, the Jason Barrera alchemy side where, you know, the world is dirty and vulgar, and that's the point. And so, like, this is, you know, the world is room 237, and we have to just go through it the best we can.
Everything all at once. Not that it's dirty and vulgar, but you get the whole package as soon as you can't have one side without the other. And that's just kind of the way it goes, I guess.
Which I think was what is basically what I was trying to get at, is the idea of that here we talk about confronting the shadow, we talk all these things, but then I don't like if a conversation goes to, oh, we just don't talk about that here.
Well, whose shadow is more displayed in this whole thing? Justin's or Violator's use of ear rape?
It's all the same shadow.
Okay.
Right. We're dealing with a human thing. And, I mean, people are more affected by things than others. And it's not a fucking contest for who has more experience with these matters or something. It's
okay, here is the last comment from Justin on the latest on the thread for this show. I did not realize at all that the aptly self-titled Mr. Hellspawn, I'm surprised he didn't say Violator, is referencing how he felt about the effect of his voice. All I saw was a rape joke. And then if you look at my wall, click here so I can rape your ears. Turn up the volume because my ear-violating voice is rather quiet. Long live ear rape culture. And if he didn't know I was talking about my voice or ears, then he simply did not read what I wrote. I could tell if he never knew me before this, maybe I could see that. But the first time I heard my voice on the Blog Talk Radio podcast I did with a Celtic rebel who calls chicks cunts and no one, you know, has a whole thread for him on the kitchen sink, but whatever. So, you know, the first time I heard my voice, I was like, oh my God, is that what I sound like? Jeez, I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I know I'm a low talker and all, so I really have genuine anxiety about it. Everyone tells me it's okay and does, you know, it's not that bad. But, you know, it's an anxiety thing, and I kind of, you know, like I said, I have to preempt people making fun of me by making fun of myself. So that's all that was doing. And I was very shocked that someone thought I was, I mean, I didn't say I'm going to rape your mom while you listen to this podcast. I said, my ear is going to be raped by my voice because it's so fucking horrible. Oh, sorry. Cussing.
So can I, yeah, you could say, you could curse. No, please. Like, you know, it's talking about synchronicities here. We talked about, one of the things we talked about was the most recent Synchronize, where we talk about like trying to suppress something and that it comes, you can't suppress something because it'll just come out in other ways. Something that occurs to me was, I know this isn't a Synchronized show, but just to say, I'm curious what anyone thinks, is Andros, do you remember in episode 2 of Synchronize, there was attention to a line in whatever the Radio 8 Ball answer was that was something like, I'm going to stick my tongue inside your ear and scratch your brain or something?
Yeah, that was from my song Get Normal.
What's the actual line?
What is it? I only wish that I could stick my tongue so far inside your ear it scratched your brain.
Right. So that's
same, and it's the same. I mean, it's a very similar kind of imagery. And I think, and that's, I mean, I hadn't even thought about that until you brought it up. But, and maybe that's why I feel strongly, on Violator's side in this. In the sense that, and it is, I think, an apt metaphor. And when I say it, there's nothing self-deprecating about it at all. It's more like saying, you, the general listener, are so brainwashed, tuned out, basically brain dead in a lot of ways, and tuned out to the frequency that I'm trying to get through to you, that I do have to, in the nicest possible way, which is music
is. This is so rapey.
Fucking ear, because you're not going to hear it otherwise. Because we live in a brained out, in a tuned out society, and as an artist, it is the impulse to grab. Like I'm going to use some other language to grab someone and shake someone and wake them up. Now, if you did that in real life, if you went around grabbing people, shaking them, and waking them up, that would be a violation, just as rape would. But as an artist, to say, I want to wake you up, I want to shake you, I want to rape your fucking mind until you see that you're being raped all the time. And when you wake up to that point, we can have a discussion about, from a standpoint of consciousness, maybe the use of the word rape is a little bit is unconscious and dangerous when it's used unconsciously. But the artist in me still says, just listen to how, like, we'd have to go after a lot of artists if we're going to go after Violator on this one.
Exactly. And what I want to get at here is why are we selective with our censorship, or why are we not treating our artistic peers with the same level of respect that we would give to another artist? If no one is boycotting Nirvana because they have a song called Rape Me, yet, and it's just, just one. And
they did, though. That was, they weren't allowed to play it. They wanted to play it at the MTV Music Video Awards, and they said no. And they said, okay, we won't play it. And then as soon as they came out, they fucking played Rape Me, and it pissed everybody off.
The record
by saying okay we won't, by saying okay we won't, and then oh surprise, now you have to hear this. Is that not a form of ear?
The song is about Kurt Cobain being raped. He's not raping you. The song is called Rape Me.
Glorifying like how many women. This is another issue. How many women very few will admit to this, but this is a real issue, is a rape fantasy, which is a disgusting thing. This is something that's been promoted in our culture. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
wait a second. Back up. Why disgusting? We all, like, again, just like we were talking about in that Synchronize episode with Michael. It's disgusting in certain contexts and
yes,
other contexts.
Yes.
To sex shame someone for having a fantasy that explores that power dynamic is another ring of the oppressive patriarchal society. I'm just going to keep, since there are no women here and I'm from Olympia, I'm the closest thing you got. So.
No, I think this is a fair point. I guess what I'm, yeah, so exactly. It's disgusting in some, again, so this is all context and levels on which, and this is, I think, one of the things we talk about, right, is the idea that there are multiple, whether we say reality tunnels, there are multiple points of view with which to approach any word. And I think for a group that wants to explore the dynamic use of language and how that all these things can have multiple meanings, that a film can have multiple meanings, a word can have multiple meanings, it seems, you know, if we're in a feminist or a political conversation, then you said the idea that rape as a word being used in any other way is trivializing and all this sort of stuff might have it might be valid in that context, but in the context of Sync and in the realm of Sync, I don't think that you can say it has a meaning or it's only offensive. So yeah, actually, thank you for calling me out. Yeah, it's not just disgusting. It might be disgusting in one respect, but not in all.
Yeah, like all of these things. I mean, that's the thing, is that we're focusing on the word rape. We could put at different times and in different situations, any word, thought, expression into this thing of like, this makes me uncomfortable and I wish you wouldn't do it.
See, I'm not focusing on the word rape. I'm focusing on how it was used. Now, by Violator's own admission, he's saying, I'm trying to preempt your rejection of me by using humor, in this case, ear rape. So, but what does the sexual predator who rapes, what is his usual MO? It's, I'm trying to preempt your rejection of me as a sexual partner by sexually raping you so that maybe you'll be brainwashed enough to think that this is normal. So the whole thing is that the way that rape was used in this context, it was used in a trivialized way to preempt people's rejection of his voice quality in the excellent piece of material that he produced. It's entangling one very serious and sociopathic psychology with a self-deprecating and sort of weaker psychology at the expense of humor. And I thought that it was an inappropriate, it just didn't work. It didn't match up.
I don't think it parallels that closely, because rape, or at least, I mean, I'm not a rapist, so I don't know, but I'm imagining that the mindset of rapists is more violence, domination, and that kind of thing, and not lustful or, you know, specifically sexual, what's going through his mind. And, you know, I make a lot of sex jokes about, you know, probing your mind deeply or, you know, something like that constantly, but it's not, you know, violent or... It's not. I don't think it's in the same mindset. I don't think the context is parallels that closely.
Right. And has anyone ever been upset with the phrase "probe your mind deeply"?
Probably. You never know people.
I'm sure Andrea Dworkin would have a problem with it.
So, I guess one of the things I want to get at here is like, if now I didn't take it as being self-depreciative. I took it as being self-celebratory. Was like, this is so good, you have to hear this.
That's even more effed up.
I would say, like, if that were the case, I would say, come and have sex with my voice or something like that.
Right, okay. But I'm saying, if we want to go to the issue of someone being self-depreciative or self-conscious, instead of saying your use of language is inappropriate, why aren't we saying you have no reason to be self-conscious or to be self-depreciative because you're fucking awesome? Like, if that should be a part of the conversation.
I'm sorry, but your use of the word self-depreciating is making me cringe. It's actually self-deprecating is what you mean. Since I already outed myself as being, I can't let that go. Sorry. So continue to
So I think in the Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace, there are actually grammarians that do terrorist activities to correct billboards and such.
Mm-hmm. I love those guys. Where do I sign up?
So you just outed yourself as a grammar Nazi.
Oh, but I don't. I
think there's two Nazis in here. Why are you gonna impose your will?
Oh no.
I think I'm more of a grammar terrorist.
Well, you know what's interesting is like grammar is just an accepted, agreed upon convention. It's all conventions, and so if you read earlier English literature, there weren't agreed upon conventions, and people spelled things differently in the same text because that nothing was solidified, and so it's like signified and signifier. Whereas now we're more concerned about the fact that the signifier has a uniformity about it.
Totally. It's a consensus thing, and it's malleable, and words change over time, and have entirely different meanings than they used to. That's just the way it is.
But maybe in like there is a time context on the word rape. Like there, we were talking about like just 20 or 30 years ago, there was much less of an awareness of what that crime was, what the effect of it was on the people it happens to, and how to address it societally, in, you know, whether it's through the legal system and through the mental health system or just through relating, you know, as I think it was David, you were saying, you know, even just in our own relationships, you know, if we've dated women who have been raped, then we have had to develop a nuanced understanding of that, especially in light of the change in men and women's relationships over that 20 and 30 years, that people are speaking mm-hmm. more openly about these things. Mm-hmm. And so to that line, it's sort of like the question is, in your context, is rape still an issue that can be addressed by, you know, where it's such a hot button term that it is beyond the pale. Like we're making Nazi jokes. I'm a Jewish person here. I could, you know, we're far enough away from the Holocaust that sometimes I can have a sense of humor about it, and sometimes I don't have a sense of humor about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sink is telling you that you should have an expanded awareness, and part of that expanded awareness is should be able to realize the cultural temperature of the moment. And you should integrate the cultural temperature of the moment in how you are expanding your awareness. And right now...
he did this on his own page.
Right.
I'm just saying...
I have no idea what's going on right now with the word rape in popular culture media.
You don't?
On the TV, I don't read the news. I watch movies, work on the contact book, Project SciCube, and I go to work, and that's basically it. So I have no idea the term rape culture. All I know is that the media was using it because there's a TV on the break room at work, and I've probably heard it once or twice. And so that was a recent media phrase. So when I was talking about specifically violating your sense of hearing, I needed synonyms because I didn't want to use violate three times. So I said rape, then violate. And then I thought I'd tie it into this recent meme phrase that was going around, which, again, I'm aware that, like, I post on my personal Facebook, which Justin had the gall to assume I had no knowledge of this, but I've posted on my personal Facebook that there's a major problem with rape in the military, like tremendous, huge problem. And most of the people in my family are in the military, so I'm stepping on all kinds of toes. I have family members that are in corrections. So when I talk about how shitty prison conditions are and that 60% of those people are in there for drug crimes and are getting raped by violent criminals because we have fucked up, you know, prohibition laws, you know, I'm stepping on all kinds of toes on my personal Facebook and I get fights over there. But, you know, I don't know. It just, I can't believe, that people would, that Justin's taking it out of context, not knowing that ear rape was about ear rape, and thinking it was just some kind of random joke, and then assuming I have a misogynistic persona which I don't know if you guys could tell me, but I don't think I do. I mean, I constantly talk about my inability to even talk to women, not that I'm, you know, date raping them or something, that he could take this whole made up in his mind image of me with my name and with the word rape on my wall and turn it into this huge thing where we have to have a whole show to talk about it.
I think you
paid him. I mean, it's just mind blowing.
I think that you wanted the publicity and that you paid him. And then
I mean, during the whole thing, I probably more people listen to the podcast than would have because they're like, what? This is about rape? And then they're like, oh, no, it's not. Like, what the hell did that have to do with any? And I during the whole thing with Justin, I got and accepted 5 friend requests. So, you know, thank you, Justin, I guess.
Did you guys explore the Louis C.K. Daniel Tosh thing at all earlier?
I don't know what that is.
No.
Oh.
What about it?
I don't know anything about it either. I just know that if you...
Oh, yeah. Louis C.K. came to Daniel Tosh's defense. Daniel Tosh said a rape joke in a club, got in a lot of hot water.
Oh, but he said, I hope that woman gets raped. That's terrible. I mean, I've never seen one
derogatory thing. And Louis C.K., being the hot comic in the spotlight of the moment, they asked his opinion on it or something, or he tweeted because he felt he could, answer the argument in 140 characters, but he essentially defended all jokes of any kind, and he said, even rape jokes, you shouldn't, attack a comedian for using rape jokes, and that was his stance on it. And I think a lot of people were surprised at how black and white he treated the issue, especially if I'm correct.
I think
that
you can attack.
It out.
I think it's fine to. I mean, he could. I think Justin could have. For one, responded on my wall instead of taking a screen capture and running to the kitchen sink and posting in someone's already existing thread and totally derailing the entire
situation. I just think he reacted.
But he could have a whole website dedicated to how much he hates me.
No, I don't think he hates you.
I would totally support it.
It's like seeing something in a place that you don't expect to see it. You go, it's like seeing an alien. You go, how the fuck did that get there? You just don't expect it when you go to the line, press, 42 minutes, and then I want to ear rape you. He's like, I don't see how that fit into that progression. And that's why he got so surprised and said, does anyone else feel the same way I do? Because, like, something is sticking out in a way that I can't believe that it's in there, that it's manifesting itself under this umbrella. And that will tell you, I think, a little bit about the cultural temperature with the world with the word rape right now.
I'm sorry, I really have a problem with that. Like, the cultural temperature of the word rape is going to be determined by the one person out of however many who decides that that's out of line. I mean,
what we're talking about is victims finally feeling able that it's safe to talk about their experiences at the hands of the people who are raping. That's what the cultural temperature is about right now. It's saying, it doesn't matter if it's your father or if it's a police officer or if it's the governor. You have a safe place to come forward, and we will treat you like you are a victim and not like you are some psychotic or that you were asking for it. That's the whole cultural temperature right now. It's allowing a safe place for victims to come forward. So to trivialize it right now at this time and place is to not get that message. And if you're not getting that message, that means you're not very aware. So if you're talking about sync expanding your awareness, it completely collapses the whole notion that sync expands your awareness. Because if you haven't picked up on that, then what else are you not picking up on?
Bill, you're implying that to expand your awareness is to develop a point of view, and that this point of view is what's being developed right now, and we're expanding. You're not expanding. I would argue that's contracting. You've come to a decision that this is what it means, rather than an expanded awareness, which would be this is what it means in this context, this is what it means in this context, and this is what it means in this context. So, I wonder if that's if you can address that. Like, is an expanded awareness, like a developing some sort of PC progressive, you know, in the term progressive, are you saying expanded or are you saying a progressive attitude?
You have to know where you are and you have to know when you are, right? You have to wake up from the nightmare of history and find out where your place is in that narrative. And right now, we're coming out of an incredibly dark age where rape wasn't even a word that people recognized, and it wasn't a word that people felt comfortable talking about, and victims of rape had nowhere to go. They just had to deal with it. They had to suffer in silence. So now that that cloak is being lifted off in the last maybe 40 or 50 years, especially in the last 25, when people like Oprah Winfrey, and people hate her, but she was probably one of the prime people to talk about rape, having been a victim herself, and showing that you can transcend your trauma and you can move past it, and that there's a healthy side at the end of, you know, talking about it for the first time. So that's part of our cultural lens is fostering a safer environment for victims of rape. And this thing goes back thousands and thousands of years. So to know when you are in history is to respect that place and time. And this is just what it's not telling you to censor your thoughts and ideas about rape, but it's to understand that that word right now is very sensitive to a lot of people, right? And it's like people don't use the word faggot anymore. Faggot used to be...
Yeah, they do, and my gay friends use it more than any.
Well, it used to be a ubiquitous term that was flippantly used, and people don't... People have a little bit more sensitivity as to when they use that word, because you have same-sex marriages finally being recognized as just as equal and not as like any way different from heterosexual marriages. So it's a time and a place, and how you use words like that sort of tell other people how aware you are about what's going on right now. And that's just my opinion. I could be completely full of shit, but that's how I take it. And that's how I felt Justin took it. So, I mean, and Violator says he doesn't read the news. He's a hermit. He watches movies and reads comic books. So how would he have any idea about any of that stuff that's going on around him? If that's
the context, I personally see a difference in saying you're rape and that, you know, I'm going to rape those guys or, you know, whatever. I'm going to rape you with a 10-foot ball. Like, I'm going to rape you physically, you know, like with my body and your body, you know. If I made a comment on that level, I could see it would be more cringeworthy. I don't know. It seems like, you know, like, yeah, okay, you know, to say I'm going to rape the buffet line.
You know what? This